FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is April 10th, 2020. Well, are you worried about the markets yet? Maybe you should be, or maybe your time for worrying has come and gone, at least for now. We're going to answer those questions and more. First, we'd love to hear from you. Your opinion, do you think the market correction, crash, whatever you want to call it, it's a little too extreme to just call it a correction. Obviously, it's a crash. Maybe we're in a bear market, maybe we're not, but we'd love to hear your opinion. Email us, kl@kerrylutz.com, kl@kerrylutz.com. And thank you to all of those of you who have emailed me recently with your opinions about what's happening in the market. And hopefully we'll address a lot of what you're wondering about with the person you're about to hear from, R.C. Peck. You find him at fearlesswealth.com. R.C., hey, hopefully you're not too sedated or taking a lot of antidepressants or anti-anxiety medication, and we can talk about what's happening with the market.
I'd love to. It's such a good time to be talking about the market and human behavior.
Yeah, and I don't mean to imply that you're depressed or getting medicated by any stretch. That was a joke, but I'm sure a lot of you out there are ready to go take the Xannies or whatever else is available to relieve your anxiety at this moment. And you wouldn't be normal if you didn't have some anxiety, and who wouldn't at this point? So, RC, you know, we had this crash. One of the things on your site say, looking for this right strategy that keeps your money growing while avoiding the next crash, all without trading or timing. How did we work out the past few weeks?
You know, one of the things that I often think about is how people behave when things get really bad, right? It's one thing to, air quotes, be a great investor when the road is dry, straight, and there's no, you know, there's not a cloud in the sky. Like, who isn't a good driver? But what I notice is if people don't have a plan going into a hurricane or a tornado or a crash, they have much more anxiety. They have much more worry. And I often think of just these thought experiments. Let's say two people got the exact same performance. Right. So let's say they're both down 20% this year. Okay. But one has a plan and is executing on their plan. It's like, yep, I'm just following the plan and it's super simple and straightforward. And the other person is just freaking out and losing sleep and I don't know. And they both happen to be at a negative 20% as an example. But I would rather be the person who's implementing their plan and being like, yeah, we're fine. Yeah, we're down 20%. And we're doing these steps and we've done these steps and we'll do this if it goes higher and we'll do this if it goes lower. And so they eliminate all of those, you know, oh my God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do because they have the plan. So when you ask that question, I kind of just think of there's so many different ways to be affected by what's going on, but certainly not having anxiety or stress or loss of sleep and just going, yep, we're implementing the plan. What a better way to go through life. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know what Mike Tyson says, a plan is good until you get hit in the head. A lot of you out there have been hit in the head. How is the plan going?
Yeah, everybody's got a plan. Everybody's got a plan until they get hit. Most people's plans don't realize they're in a boxing ring, right? Most people's plans are not expecting a Mike Tyson right hook. They're not. Most people's plans are, well, I'm 60, so I guess subtract that my age from 100, and I'm going to over diversify in stocks and have 30 different symbols and 12 different bond symbols, and you know they have 57 different symbols that at varying times are flashing red or green, and just that amount of data hitting their brain is scary and overwhelming. So I don't actually think most people are prepared or realize they may be in a boxing ring. And so they really do get shocked. And I guess a good example is there's one of the most well-followed investment approaches is the 60-40, 60 stock, 40 bond. Mm. And in 2008, that approach at the bottom was down 44%. Mm. I'm willing to bet most people in the 60-40 are probably 50, 60, 70 years old, right? So losing 40, 45% of their wealth in a balanced, blended, I will be safe approach probably felt a lot scarier than the 30-something with his, you know, portfolio down 58%. Because he was kind of expecting it. And so I think the 60-40 stock bond split is kind of a really good example of how people think they're okay. But even that approach, I believe, was down about 22% at the bottom. Again, did that 70-year-old expect to lose 22% of their money? My guess was no. Now, it's come back. But the point is that people are not aware of the volatility that they're actually inviting into their life.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And the older you get, as someone who's gotten older, the harder it is to bounce back and really not only just, you can't just get even, you can't just look to get even, you have to really look to get ahead. And so you're going to get some losses if you're in the market, no matter what you do. Unless you're in insurance or you're in something that really has no risk to it, CDs or whatever. But then you have another kind of risk, and that is loss of purchasing power, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. The cost of guaranteed is pretty expensive, right? So you can buy an annuity or an insurance product, right? An annuity is an insurance product that guarantees a certain return. But I often find that guaranteed is a very expensive word because, yeah, you're guaranteed, let's say you're guaranteed 4%. Okay. Well, God forbid inflation ever gets above that or, you know, like you said, the purchasing power. And so a lot of times what people are actually buying is that guaranteedness, which can be very expensive. And I get it. I mean, humans want certainty. That's how our brain is designed, to have a certain like outcome. And so at a pretty high expense, they buy guaranteed products, but they've never really been trained or taught how to really look at them.
Right. So there's a cost even for guaranteed. And sometimes that cost is way too high. For instance, in the 70s and 80s with high inflation, guarantees really meant a loss of purchasing power. Even though you might have had a nominal return, you lost money, right?
Well, yeah, it's just like if you want to drive across the country at 20 miles an hour, that's fine, right? Mm-hmm. Let's just call that guaranteed.
Yeah.
And you're going to get there. I mean, that's the thing. Like you see yourself crossing county lines at 20 miles an hour, but at what cost is it really costing you? And people just aren't taught or trained how to think objectively, like, okay, so the pro is we get 4% a year. Okay, what's the con? Like what's it really costing us? And whether that's the annuity or the 60-40 stock bond split, you know, and I think the 60-40 is a good example because most people think if they're buying that, they're safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and balanced, most people probably would not say losing 40%+ is the definition of safe.
Right.
And so, you know, people have not been taught to turn on their pattern recognition brain to actually see what something looks like. And that's what's scary for people because they don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. So what are you suggesting that you do here? Like, you don't have to give us all your secrets, but how do you protect yourself and get this return?
Look, I think the first thing is people have been taught to be over diversified. Whether they're over-diversified in bonds or they're over-diversified in stocks or both, what happens is if you have 40 stock symbols and the market falls, first of all 40 are going to fall. So they're all going to become the market. So there's no upside to having 40 different symbols. And when the market's in a good standing, half the symbols outperform, half the symbols underperform, and you end up just getting the market. So, I mean, the first thing I'd say is people have created a level of anxiety because they have all these different symbols that are just at varying degrees doing exactly what the market is doing. So one of the easiest things to do is to just simplify and just go, like, if we could just get our stock positions down to one or two that represent the overall market, then man, my brain could probably handle that information much better than 42 symbols.
Yeah. So are we looking at an ETF or a mutual fund or what?
One of the things I train my clients to do is to ask the question, is it beating the free stock market rate of return? So to me, that's my own term. That's not actually a term, but it should be. So the free stock market rate of return is the S&P 500 with dividends reinvested, right? So if what you're going to buy is not going to beat that, and there's an easy way to train the brain to know if it is or not, then you're just bringing anxiety and stress into your life. So one of the first things I train is, if it can't beat the free stock market rate of return, then all you're doing is inviting and creating anxiety and stress and excitement in your life. And excitement, not in the good way, but in the bad way.
Yes.
So like, and people have their own issues. I'm not saying you should buy and hold or buy a forget. That's a separate thing. But if you can't even beat the $20 trillion company called USA Inc., what are you doing? And we know the answer. Well, I wanted to, this pick of the month told me to do this. But so, I mean, I just start with better questions. Mm-hmm. And once people are taught and trained to ask better questions, literally their anxiety goes away.
Okay. So it's all about education, teaching the client to simplify rather than make things more complicated, because it's better, even if the market's going down, to be watching one thing going down than 40, and you'll have less anxiety from it, but the end result's the same. I mean, is your belief that the market always goes up in the long run, which it has, and we can prove the numbers, but in the long run, we're all dead?
Yeah, I get angry and mad when I hear people say, well, my advisor said just ride it out. Like, imagine if you went to your doctor and your doctor said, yeah, just ride it out. Yeah, you'll be sick for like 6 months or 6 years, but yeah, you'll get through it. It's like you'd go to another doctor, but yeah, people go to their advisor saying, I'm scared. And they're like, yeah, just ride it out. Mm-hmm. And it's the weirdest thing. So, of course, yes, I believe the market will be higher in the future, but that falls into the, you can file that into the so what category. It's like, that doesn't help me. Right. Mm-hmm. The question, especially if you're over the age of 50 or 60, is, okay, I don't have an income coming in anymore, or I see my income runway going away. So riding it out is going to feel really bad when I'm in my 60s or 70s. And so, yeah, I mean, the first thing is to stop over diversifying. And then the second thing is to start asking yourself, should I even be in the stock market? And if I shouldn't, how do I step out of it? And how do I step back into it? Mm-hmm. Again, but no one's taught this stuff. I mean, I train and teach people this for 2 decades. And once they follow it, their lives change and they get control back. But it sounds heretical to a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so we just had a market decline. Did you avoid it?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Financial Survival Network is brought to you today by Orin Resources, a junior exploration company with the appetite of a major. It's hot on the trail of the next globally significant discovery, creating enormous potential upside for you, the shareholder. Orin is one of the most aggressive exploration companies pursuing high-grade, scalable gold and copper deposits, and has a premier 7-project portfolio, including its 2 flagships, Committee Bay in the Arctic and Sombrero in Peru. Orin's unparalleled technical team and highly experienced management has a history of success in advancing and monetizing exploration assets. No wonder Orin's been called one of the best in the junior exploration sector. Orin trades on the TSX and the NYSE under AUG. To learn more, go to orinresources.com. That's AURYN resources.com.
The Financial Survival Network.
It's all about what's next.
Yeah, so yes and no. One of the things that I train my clients to do is to step out when a correction starts to become a crash. So there's a stepping out process. What I do not teach, so that's the yes part. The no part is what I do not teach is I think something's coming, go 100% out. That is a very, very expensive approach to go 100% out in one step and to go 100% in one step. Because here's the thing, most corrections stop at about 19%. Right. So if you look at all price volatility in the stock market, 99% of all those things stop at about a 19% loss across the board. Mm-hmm. So you want to have an approach that takes those small little corrections. Because if not, you're getting in, getting out. And what you end up doing is being out more because the brain can't figure out how to go in and out fully. But as soon as the market starts moving past that 19%, you really want to start taking specific steps. So if the market continues getting worse, you're stepping out of the market and you're preparing to, you know, have it be a longer downturn, right? In 2008, from peak to bottom was 18 months. In 2000, from peak to bottom was 30 months. So these recessionary falls last a while.
Yes, they do. Well, this one might not. This could have just been a flash crash, or it might be the sign of a major recession and a major market decline coming. We don't know that. So what do you tell a client in this situation where the future is so uncertain? We saw a really great snapback rally. We're seeing airlines, hotels, restaurant stocks start picking up. Maybe it's just a snapback and it's not going to have legs, not going to have staying power.
Yeah, I mean, my training clients know what to do. They know how to tell if it's a bottom or not a bottom. They know how to step in and step back out. So they're prepared to step another chunk out and they're prepared to put another chunk back in, right? They're taught to not care whether it's another step out or another step in. I mean, they care about their money, they care about their stability, but they're not attached to whether there's going to be another big chunk stepped out or in. Mm-hmm. I think right now what people are doing is they're watching the death count. And they're kind of based, it feels like the market's based on how many people died today. And I just, I want to set aside, like, I don't want to be callous, but let's just talk about this for a second, because I think this is what the market's doing. I think it's literally going, how many died today?
And how many cases, new cases, you know, which is totally the wrong number. Totally the wrong number.
You know, and so that's one metric to follow. The question I think is, okay, who's going on a cruise in July of 2021? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, are you going to go on a cruise in October if you think there's a 2% chance you might be stuck on that boat for 3 months off the coast of California or Florida? I'm just throwing these thought experiment ideas out there. Like, who buys a cruise when you may not be able to come back after a week?
Well, I know what you're saying. And what I'm looking at is not the death total. I want to know hospitalizations. Where are they at in terms of capacity, in terms of are they falling or going higher? And I want to know new cases, because we're now testing probably 100 times more people than we were 3 weeks ago. And if I see the number of infections going down, meaning the amount of time in which the virus doubles, then I know this thing is coming to an end, and you just need those numbers, but they're not easy to come by because the media doesn't want you to think for yourself. So I'm thinking I want to find my end of the pandemic travel bargain. Probably going to be in mid to the end of May, but I'll put it off to May, the beginning of June, because I'm conservative that way. Because I just see this thing really light at the end of the tunnel. I'm not going to pass judgment on the recurrence of the pandemic second wave in fall or winter, because I believe the treatment options will be very refined. The protocols, the regimens we're kind of getting an idea what works and what doesn't. But in any event, I think you've given us a good idea of what we need to look for, RC, and the way to look at this from outside the box. I guess you have always been an outside the box thinker, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, the way I describe it, or other people describe it, is I'm kind of a financial heretic. Heretic or heresy, or being a heretic is the Greek word. It's a Greek root meaning able to choose, and the church did not want people to choose different choices, and so people who did make a different choice were called heretics. And I kind of believe we should be given choices, and ultimately, I think that's actually what people want. So I've never played well with other investment advisors.
Understandably so. And I consider myself an anti-fanatic. If you look, what do they call a person who has a favorite team and is really into them? A fan. A fan is short for fanatic. So I try to my best to be an anti-fan or anti-fanatic. And the way you do that is by being a bandwagon jumper. You see who's winning and you jump on that bandwagon. And maybe that's the way you need to be for the market. We'll have to let you guys decide that out there. RC, just give us again the best place to find you, best place to connect with you on the web.
Best and easiest place is my website, fearlesswealth.com.
All right. Fearlesswealth.com. There is a link to it in the show notes on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Don't forget our Twitter feed at Carrie Lutz. Don't forget, email us. Give us your views on this. KL@KarrieLutz.com. That's KL@KarrieLutz.com. And RC, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks so much.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.